We turn this over to Brother Rick for the conclusion of the message and the testimonies by the young people. Just want you to look back there, about a little beyond midway back. And is that not Linda Tate sitting back there? Isn't that who that is? Linda, it's great to see you. I mean, we know where you've been. Linda's mom is extremely ill, and she's been taking care of her as a good daughter should. But Linda just hadn't seemed like Crooked Creek without you sitting there. I didn't get to tell you that last time you were here last week, but it just really hadn't seemed that way. So God bless you, girl. Good to see you. Praying for you. All right. Well, Brother Rick, come on if you will, and let's get this thing going.
Well, all right. First of all, excuse my... my comfort look tonight. Of course, I've just driven 2.5 hours on a school bus, and I didn't even take a tie with me this week. So I didn't have one when I got here. Matt volunteered one. I don't think it would have matched my shirt. He did tell me I got a blazer down there, but last time I wore it, I couldn't button it. So, and I ate all weekend long, so I doubt very seriously I'd have been any better off to button it today. But we would like to take an opportunity now. We've got several young people that went to the Wilds with us. We ended up carrying 37 young people up there with us, and it was a wonderful time. The speaker did a great job. As I sat up in the balcony, if any of you have ever been to the Wilds, you know, you sit in the fireplace room. They always put the sponsors up in the balcony area instead of down there with all the teens. And so we can sit up there and kind of look down on them. And they just had, so many of them had such an attentive look. The speaker this year was not a dynamic speaker like they've had in years past, but he, I guarantee you, if there is a sword drill going on in the next week or two, these kids ought to do great. Because he went from Scripture to Scripture to Scripture to Scripture, and he said, turn to everyone. And you know, the Word of God is not going to return void. No matter how dynamic the speaker is, the Word of God is what is the powerful tool anyway. And he used that very well. So, with that said, we're going to get to these young people. We're going to let some of them come up, give a little bit of testimony, just a little guideline, guys. I didn't tell you downstairs, but I think all of you know we've done this in the past. Be sure when you come up, first say your name so that we can get it on the recording back there so that anybody that wants to hear it later will know who it is, and they won't have to try and pick you out. If your parents want to hear the recording of it later, they won't have to try and pick you out. So give your name. Step right up here and step just as close to this microphone as you can get. I'm going to kind of tilt it down so some of you that are a little taller, pull it up, okay? But when you come back up here, if you've come up after one of the Goza girls, pull it back down, okay? I'm just teasing with them. But I want you to be able to be heard clearly by everybody in the room. So take your time. If for some reason you get frustrated and even emotional, that's all right. Just take your time. And God will give you the grace to finish. Okay, so just take your time. And we're not in any hurry tonight. I'm preaching, but mine's very short, so you don't have to worry about that. Y'all don't have to worry about it either. But, so don't tell them how much fun you had this week. Everybody knows the Wilds is fun. You don't have to say, I rode the swing 14 times. Okay? But tell them what God did for you this week. Because that's what they want to hear. Is how God is working in your life. All right, so who's first? Come on, Hunter. Be the man.
I'm Hunter. I guess most of y'all know that. But the thing that God used most, this is a great year that I learned a lot. My counselor was wise beyond his years. I mean, he was great, but Saturday night, he talked about putting God first, and he started talking about, you know, all these things. I was like, okay, I got all those, God's before all those, and he said, sports. I was like, he started talking about basketball. Now, I don't play basketball, but y'all know I do play football, and he started talking about basketball consumed me. He said, I thought about basketball all the time, and I was like, yep, I think way too much about football. Luckily, the season's over, and I can... Focus on God right now, but I really need y'all to pray for me. Put God first, because it was because I couldn't sit through a church service without thinking about football. Just because I was putting football in front of God, and then I was kind of wondering for a while is why I couldn't have a better relationship with God. And he showed me that's why, because he's not first in my life. So y'all will pray for me for that.
Amen.
Y'all don't be shy and make me call on you. Just come right on up, one right after another. Whoever's next, come on.
Hello, I'm Cassidy. And before I went to the Wild House this weekend, the Lord had already started convicting me about my relationship with Him, because it wasn't at the level that it needed to be, and it wasn't, honestly, it wasn't at the level that I wanted it to be. This past summer, I got really close to the Lord, and our relationship was really good, and it was wonderful, sweet, and I really enjoyed reading my Bible and praying and spending time with Him. And then school started, and I got extremely busy. And so I, with everything else going on, sadly, I kind of put my relationship with God on the behind all those things. I started putting other things in front of, well, I don't have as much time now, and I wasn't spending as much time in the Word as I needed to be. And so last night he was talking about your passion for the Lord, and how sometimes maybe at one time you had a really burning passion for God, and you're really close to Him, and now maybe you're not as much on fire for the Lord as you were. And that's kind of what happened to me. I still wanted to have a deep relationship with God, and I wanted my passion for Him to be more than it was. But it's like when it came time for me to do my devotions, I wouldn't dig as deep in as I needed to. And so he was talking about that last night, and then he started, like Hunter said, he was started listing all these things that come before, that you could put before God. And he mentioned academics, and he said, some of you can spend an hour in a textbook, but you won't spend an hour in God's Word. And, like, everything that he was saying about that, I was like, oh, because it's not like, I'm not, like, crazy, you know, like, try to, oh, all this time academics, whatever. But, that's not a bad thing. But I do spend more time, I put that before my devotions. If I have a lot of homework one night, then I won't. I'm like, well, I don't have time to read my Bible as much. And that's not right. So the Lord really convicted me about that, and just so if y'all will just pray for me that I'll get my priorities straight, and I'll stop putting schoolwork and other things before God, because He should come first. And I want to go back to that deep relationship that I had with Him, because I miss it. And so just pray for me. Hey, bring it down here so y'all can hear me. I'm Noelle, and of course this week at the Wilds was awesome. Mine was a lot like Cassidy. Right after revival that we had here at church, I was on fire for God, and I was so excited. Like, I'd wake up in the morning and be like, oh good, I get to read my Bible, and I can't wait to see what the Lord has for me today. And it was just awesome, and I just loved being that close to Him. Well, as the months got on, you know, it just kind of got out of the habit, and it was just, I would wake up and try to balance school and work, and I'd just be like, well, I'll just pick my Bible and read a verse and be like, okay, I read my Bible for today, I gotta go. But I missed that. I missed wanting to read my Bible and looking forward to what God had for me. And like Cassie said last night, He was asking us, He's like, is your fire gone? Have you fallen back from where you were? And I realized I had. And I wanted to be close to God again. And right after the service, we sang a song, and it just became my prayer. I'm going to read it to y'all. It says, set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth. Turn my heart after Thine. Father, fill with Thy Spirit and fit me for service. Let love for Christ every moment, motive inspire. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be thou my joy and my soul's one desire. A passion for thee, O Lord. Set a fire in my soul and a thirst for my God. Hear thou my prayer, Lord, thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love thee with all of my heart. And that song just really spoke to me because that's what I want in my life, to have just that awesome relationship with God. And I ask that y'all just pray and help me to be able to be on fire for him again.
Hi, I'm Josie, and God just really spoke to me on Saturday night, like Cassidy and Hunter said, when he was talking about putting other things before him. I tend to do that a lot, put lots of things before him. He also said that you should have a crave to read your Bible, and I knew that I did not have that at all. Just skim it, okay, done, read it, good job, yay for me. But I never really focused and read, okay, this is what God is saying and what is he saying to me through this. And also, I had he talked about covetousness. And I had just been thinking that morning about coveting some things. And he really spoke to me about that, that I need to be grateful for what God has given to me. And also, he mentioned bitterness. And I have a really big problem with that. I get bitter very easily and very fast, and I hold it forever. And that's just something that I really need to let go of so that I can get closer to him. So if y'all can pray for me, I would appreciate it.
Amen. Amen.
This week was really good. I'm Annabeth, by the way, and God spoke to me a lot this weekend through many things. And Saturday night, our speaker talked about how we should crave the Bible, like Josie said, and we should be not be able to do without it. And that really convicted me because sometimes in the morning I have time to read it, but I just didn't want to because I think I can do without it for the day. So just pray for me to want to read the Bible and delight in God's Word.
Amen. Hey, I'm Lindsay, and what the Lord spoke about to me this week, it was that I need to be more proud of being a Christian and not try to blend in to everyone else. That I need to stand out, and people should walk up to me and ask me, why are you so different? Why aren't you like anyone else? And that, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that he talked about this morning, when everyone's doing something, you stand up. You don't bow down. So pray for me about that.
Hi, my name is Tim Sparks, and our counselor was talking, I think it was the second night, about the high schoolers in his high school who believed in, or who set the example for everybody and kept trying to be better than everybody else, but they weren't really being Christians. They were just trying to follow the crowd, and they weren't really doing anything for God. They were just trying to outdo each other and not really mean it or anything, and he was just telling us to do what's right no matter what, not do it because you believe it and you found conviction in your heart about it. And I just kept thinking about that at school, how I look at other kids and look at them and say, well, I need to be a better Christian than them, so I need to read my Bible more, and it just convicted my heart about it, and I want to do it better instead of for conviction, not just because other kids around me are doing it. That's all to say.
Hello, my name is Ansley. Well, first time when I went to the wilds, I was really excited about going there, and I know I get really scared, but I asked the Lord to help me not be so scared or nervous or anything like that. And sometimes I get so really angry and sad, but I try not to do that, and Lord does help me really a lot, and I want y'all to pray for me not to get so angry, upset, or anything like that.
I'm Tony. This week was my first week getting to go to the wilds at teen camp and all of that. And the pastor, he spoke a lot, spoke about a lot of different things, and many of them spoke to my heart. But one of the main things was this morning, like Lindsay was saying, when he talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they stood up against everybody else, and they were the only ones that didn't bow down, and how they just had a fire for God, and the Lord just really spoke to me and helped me realize that that's what I needed to do too, and especially in my school and all like that, that I would just be a really good witness. And so I'd really appreciate it if y'all pray for me so I could do that.
Any others? Come on, Dylan. I guess you may. I asked Dylan if he wanted to. He said, I don't know, I may.
Hi, my name's Dylan, and most of y'all that know me really know that this is not my position to be up here. This is really not who I am, so this is the Lord that really told me to come up here and tell y'all this. The preacher talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There being hundreds, possibly even thousands of people bowing down before a god that Nebuchadnezzar built. And Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second chance. And in Daniel 3, verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What really stood out to me is that they didn't try to lie their way out of it, saying, yeah, we're Christians. They flat out told them, no, we're not going to bow down. No, we're not part of this. And that's kind of my problem. I do try to tell people that I'm Christian, but I kind of bend and merge away from it and things like that. And I just want y'all to pray for me that I'd be able to have the strength to just tell them that I'm a Christian and I'm not going to be involved with the bad things of this world, that I shouldn't be conformed to this world.
Okay. Hi, I'm Rachel. I don't actually go to this church. I go to Faith Baptist, but I go to NGM Camp for the Library of Youth, and I love them. And Mr. Ricky invited us to go to the Wilds, and it was awesome. We had a great time. But like a lot of people said, this morning we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego once again, and how they stood out and they didn't bow down. And like I know that. I know that I should stand out. I know that I should be different. But it's a lot harder said. It's a lot easier said than done, you know. And it just reminded me, you know, like the pastor said when he preached about it, it takes a lot more guts to stand out and be different and not do what the crowd is doing than it does to be like everybody else. Like, that takes courage. And so, I need help with that, of course. And we were doing God and I time this week, which is something where we just, we've been reading the book of James, and in chapter 1 it's talking about, it's saying that you're blessed when you fall into adverse temptation. So that's God testing you, it's testing your faith. But when you're tempted, you know, it's so easy to lose your testimony by giving into that temptation. And so as Christians, we have to hold on to our testimony so tight, and we have to stay away from anything that, you know, could put us in a group that people say, oh, well, she's a Christian, look what she's doing, you know. So the temptation thing, God really spoke my heart about that this week, you know. Like, even preachers could fall into temptations, or even, you know, the people that are closest to God. So we just really got to guard our testimonies. And there's something else. There's so much in my head right now that, wish I could remember. But that's basically all, you know, we just got to stand out, and we can't be scared, and, also, the thing about, like Cassidy and Noel said, just reading my Bible every single day, you know, school, basketball, you know, sometimes I don't get home until 9:30 at night, and I'm like, I'm so tired, I'm just going to do my homework and go to bed. Sometimes I'm like, oh, whatever with the homework, you know. So I just need to, need y'all to pray for me about standing out, and also, you know, just reading my Bible every single day, and seeing every day, you know, what does God have for me, not just skimming over it to say I read it. And that's all.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. Come on, Craig.
Hi, my name is Craig. What really spoke to me was, same as them, mostly Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, about how they really stood out, how they stood up when everybody else was bowing down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had put up. And some of the guys got together after lunch, and we just gathered together, and we talked about it. The speaker also talked about how there were 12 people who just basically turned the world completely upside down whenever they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They went out and they turned the whole world upside down. And Sam Thomas, who's not here tonight, he was talking about how if 12 could, you know, men could turn the world upside down, why couldn't a bunch of young people that are on fire for God? So we got together and we prayed and we asked God that he would help us to stand up when everybody else is bowing down, or to and really stand out. And so I ask y'all to pray with us, pray for us as we go out throughout our daily lives. And we like, I'm in college, and most of y'all are in high school or wherever y'all are going. Just as we go throughout our daily lives, just pray that we'll be able to stand out, and people will tell that we're different, and just help us to go out and tell other people about God, and not just kind of sit back in the background.
Come on, Paige.
Hi, my name is Paige. This weekend, it really hit me that I need to sit down and get in God's Word and understand what I'm reading. And I realized that if I don't understand something, then I need to ask somebody. And really, just my main problem is I'm like Noel. I just need to. I play volleyball. I love volleyball. And sometimes I put that before God's Word. And I just need for y'all to pray for me that I can put God's Word first.
Hi, Hi, I'm Kelly. I go to Faith Baptist, and I got the privilege of going with your church this week to the Wilds. And this week the preacher was preaching on, one of the nights he preached on the crucifixion of Jesus and all the pain and the suffering he went through. And I was thinking, he went through all that pain and suffering, and here I am, I'm playing basketball, I'm playing softball, and I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm putting it all before the one who gave all that for me. And that's ridiculous. I mean, he did all that for me, and here I am putting stuff before him. And so, I guess please pray for me to get my priorities straight and start putting him before all that stuff, because that's the way it should be.
Any others? Lori didn't get to go with the college and career class last week because she was, I don't know, a few miles away in the Dominican. But I asked Lori because she was down there and she was working with our resident missionary down there in the Dominican, and I asked her if she had anything she'd like to share with us. And so, Lori, you come on and do that. Remember what I told you, though.
Okay, my name is Lori, and I spent 9 days in the Dominican Republic with Rebecca, and I loved it. I didn't want to come home. There were some people that really did want me to come home, so I came home. But there were very specific prayer requests that we had prayed. I prayed privately. I prayed with other people, and the other people had prayed for me. And, okay, I love to fly. Flying is great. I hate the airport. So that's a problem. And we had prayed that I would be able to get through the airport, I wouldn't get lost. And then Lisa had prayed something that I hadn't thought of. She prayed that I would have nice people to sit with. Well, on the way down there, I sat with an older couple who was in charge of a mission team going into the Dominican. And so it was a blessing. They were a fellow Baptist group. And that was a blessing to be able to talk to them. And they were excited about me going and visiting my friend that's a missionary in the Dominican. And I was excited about them going and building this orphanage for some missionary friends of theirs. While I was there, I'm trying to figure out what in the world I can do, because I don't feel like I have that many talents. I can't play an instrument. I sing in the choir. I don't sing solos. So Rebecca's a music teacher. I don't read music. I can't teach anybody anything about music. But I just went with her to some of her classes, and one class I was very much a disruption instead of a help. But she told me, she said, you know, you got them to use their English. That's something that they're hesitant to do. You were able to get them to use the English, and so that was a good thing. And then she said, why don't you try out some of the English classes? I said, okay, I can do that. I speak English. So I was able to help with pronunciation of words. They did get a little bit of a southern pronunciation for the words, but it was English, and I could understand them. They could understand me. So in my seeming lack of talents, I don't speak Spanish, and that's the language that they speak there, but in my seeming lack of talents, God was able to take what I had and use it. And that was just such a wonderful thing for me. And on the way home, I got through security no problem. Even though I was very sad to leave, I was crying so hard I couldn't hardly see where I was going, because I didn't want to come home. But then again, Lisa had prayed and for me to have someone to sit with. And I sit down in my seat, and a young man sits down beside me, and he and I started talking. And he was had just gotten back from doing medical missions into Haiti. So it was just such a blessing for me to see God working out, even in the small details, the things that I was most concerned about. And so it was a wonderful trip, and I thank y'all for your prayers. And please continue to pray for Rebecca as she's working on working with these kids, building relationships with these kids. Some of them through my working with them in the English classes, are feel more comfortable to come to Rebecca with things. So and just pray that the relationships will continue to be built and that their hearts will be one for the Lord.
Any others? You coming this way?
I just want to say thank you very much for all the sponsors. A lot of these teams wouldn't have been able to go without y'all's a sacrificial gift of financially supporting them. And I want to thank the teens for being alert and attentive and obedient to the Holy Spirit and for listening and getting a lot out of this weekend spiritually. And thank Josh and Amanda for going with us. They were a lot of help.
Amen. Josh and Amanda Seymour went with us this year, as Josh is now the younger high school teacher. Well, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, anyway, guys, teacher. He got an opportunity to go this year, and we had a great time. He hauled the luggage up there behind my van in that trailer, and it was great. We had a good trip. Any others? Well, young people, y'all have encouraged me just sitting up here. Listen to what you have to say. But I was sitting there a minute ago, and I just started counting the ones here around. And how many of you that got up here and you talked about making that stand, the same stand that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make? And I was thinking about how if you guys, if just right now, you would decide, okay, we're going to be that group. We're going to put pressure on our friends and not let our friends pressure us. We're going to be the ones that put the positive peer pressure on the group of people we're around. It's hard. It's going to be real hard, but just think. If you just do it tomorrow, it'll be a little easier. And then Tuesday, it'll be a little easier. And by Wednesday, you'll probably have two or three helping you, just in your group of friends. Craig was talking about turning the world upside down. Sam Thomas had come to me and said, "Can I just take the guys and us pray?" And it was a sight to look over there and see there was, I guess, I don't know, 15, 16 young men down on their knees out in the parking lot praying. And what they were praying is that God would just strengthen them and make them the pressure. Young people, you can do it. You can't do it on your own. But through God's strength, you can do that. You know, we've been talking. You've heard me say it. You've heard Brother Matt say it, the preacher, over the last few years. Brother Billy, when he was here, one of the biggest issues that we've talked about is unbelief and the dangers of unbelief. But you know, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, you know, what is unbelief? Well, if you looked at the dictionary definition of it, it would tell you, you know, unbelief is just simply a rejection of belief, a rejection of truth. And just in a short amount of time, as I sat there and went through some scriptures about unbelief, it's easy to see how important that is to deal with unbelief in your life to God. And I got to thinking even more that how many things are there out there that we say we believe, but we really don't? And our actions prove it. If I were to tell you that yesterday I saw Miss Elizabeth all dressed in black, hair dyed black, walking around downtown, I don't think you'd believe me. Either that or you'd believe Miss Elizabeth had totally flipped out. But
But that would be an easy thing that you've heard. That would be easy to reject, wouldn't it? Now, if I said Miss Tate, on the other hand, y'all might not reject that as much, because Miss Tate did volunteer to dye her hair blue one year at Bible school. But then they wanted to shave all the hair off my arms and legs and head and face, and I said, no, that ain't gonna happen. So, but there are so many things out there. I mean, I just started counting up, and there's just hundreds of things, some of them Bible principles that we say we believe, that when you break it down, you really don't. So I picked four. And I could have had a sermon that had 100 points. And then we'd been here for a long time. I could have picked one like normal and just had no point to it. But I want to give you four, though. I want to give you four things that we say we believe, but when you break it down, you don't. If you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go in a few different places. But if you'll go to Hebrews chapter 11 first, we'll start right there. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, of course, this is the big chapter on faith. It's where you find all your big names. This is where God's list of the faithful come. Who's who in faith? But listen to what one of the things is. We say we believe God is, but do we? Listen to what it says in verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. We believe that. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. If I told you I came in here tonight and I came home from the wilds and that I had dropped my billfold somewhere in this sanctuary, and inside that billfold there was plenty of money for me to give you a $100 reward for whoever found it, I can guarantee you there would be a diligent seeking going on. But we say, oh, we believe who God is. I mean, we believe in the existence of God. But do we really believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of them who diligently seek after Him? You know what it is to get a reward? You know what it is? I mean, that's to get something that you didn't earn, to get something you didn't deserve. You just got it because. Oh, I found that billfold, so they gave me $10. It didn't take me a whole lot. I just walked by. It was laying there on the ground. I picked it up and said, hey, here's your billfold. You know what? If we will diligently seek after God, He's ready to give us rewards for it. What kind of rewards? Blessings. Honor. Things that He wants to bestow upon us if we'll just believe He is and that He wants to do that. See, I found out that I believe in the existence of God, but many times I don't believe God's ready to bless me about something. And I'll just work at it hard for myself and see what I can do. But that's not faith. It's not faith. It's not faith in saying, God, I'm leaving this in your hands. You can do that. Number two, the second thing that we say we believe that sometimes we wonder, we believe God knows. Do we believe God knows everything? When we ask somebody to describe God, you're going to get three words almost every time. What is the character of God? You're going to get three words. He's omniscient, He's omnipotent,
and he's omnipresent. You're going to get those three things. Do you even know what they mean? Of course we do. I mean, you say, oh, well, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Do we believe that? Young people, let me ask you something. If you believe God is everywhere, would you go some of the places you go? Would you say some of the things you say? Would you do some of the things you do? See, we don't believe it. We say we do, but we don't. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a psalm of David. Let me tell you how it starts right here. Verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path. My lying down are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. How many times do we say things when we really should hold our tongue? God already knows what's there. He already knows your heart. God really worked on me on this weekend as I was thinking about that, because I can be very critical towards my family and towards other people. And I'm sure some of you can be too. But you know, if we had to stop and think that we have to give an account for every idle word, would we say some of those things about people? Do we really believe that God knows all we do? Because if we did, it'd change our lives. The third thing is, we say we believe God cares. And you know, that's comforting when we're in times of trouble. But you know, when things are going good, when everything is just fine and there's no issues in life, we want to pat ourselves on the back and say, look what I'm getting accomplished. We want to take all of it in for ourselves and just kind of fall away from the fact that God cares for me in the good times too. It's not, God doesn't want us, but we do it. I do it. But God doesn't want me to chug along in my own strength and just move and move and move until something goes wrong and say, okay, God, I can't do this one. This is yours. That's not where we ought to be. But I found that a lot of times I just don't believe God cares. Not just about me personally and not just about the things going on in my life. But you know what? Satan likes to use that one. Because you know what he says? Oh, don't worry about sin. Grace covers that. See, God doesn't care if you sin because you can ask for forgiveness. That's not Bible. But I can tell you how many... I can't tell you how many times, especially as a teenager growing up, and even as an adult, that I've done something that I knew was sin with the thought in my head, well, God just had to forgive me for that one. A lie, an action, God will forgive me for that. Mm-mm. See, if I believed that God cared, I'd care for Him.
And in caring for him, I would defend his character, not mock it. See, when we just blatantly sin, we're mocking God's character. When you're a Christian and you're living for the devil, you're mocking God's character. Now, I don't know if there's anyone in here that's trying to hide sin in their life. I couldn't tell you. Only God knows that. But I know if we lived like we care, like God cared for us, we'd care for Him. And the fourth one is believing God's coming. Oh, we'll say, oh, no. I know. The Bible says that God's coming back. That's part of it. I know that for a fact. I believe that. But do we? Do you realize that the return of Christ is imminent? That means there is nothing else that has to happen. There is nothing else that has to be done for Christ to return. This very second, it's all done. But yet when we live with sin in our life, with a lot of these other things going on in our life, we're living like we got plenty of time. Young people, let me tell you, and not so young people, we don't want to meet Christ. Not in sin. We don't want to meet Christ living the way some of us are living. But we don't believe He's coming without a warning. But that's not Bible. The Bible says He'll come like a thief in the night. If we knew the thief was coming, we would be prepared. We'd have our house locked up. We'd have our possessions stored away. We would be protecting them. Are we protecting the very gold, the very jewels that God has called us to be? Are we really living like we believe He's coming? And see, those are just four things. There's hundreds. And if you go through the list in your own head, you'll find out. Because as I was going through it in mine, it was like, wow. But if you'll take hold of these four, just these four, it'll change your life. If you'll take hold of these four and say, you know what? I'm going to believe God for those four things. It'll start revival in your life. It already has in mind. Just in preparing this. Young people, God wants you. You are the next generation. You are the leaders in this church. In the next generation, when we're all gone, you're it. And if we continue down this path that we're heading, there's going to be few people who know who Christ is. Because we're not taking the time to introduce them. You're not taking the time to introduce them. Young people, I'm begging you, live for God. Don't wait until you're 32 years old and say, well, I guess it's time. See, I got saved. I was 11 years old. I went to church. And I can tell you, I went to church as a teenager for a lot of the wrong reasons. And I know, because there is no new thing under the sun, that some of you are here tonight for the absolute wrong reason. You're not here because you love the Lord and you want to learn about Him. You're here because somebody else is here. Are you here because you want somebody else to make sure they know you're here? I know. I've been there. Don't let this slip away from you. Right now, make a decision to serve God. The Lord Jesus Christ came and He died for you. He gave everything He had for you. Shouldn't you give everything you have for Him? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Because if you don't, you can't show Him to somebody else. Is He just an acquaintance? Somebody you've heard about because you've been in church all your life? Let me tell you. The Lord Jesus came and willingly gave up His life for you. He was crucified. After He was beaten and tortured, that you might be free from sin. He was buried and He rose again to give you that freedom. Now, if you're here tonight, whether you're a young person or not, if you're here tonight and you have never accepted that in your own life as truth, let me tell you, tonight is the night. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you your sins, please do it tonight. The piano and the organ are going to play in just a minute. And time that first note plays, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you come down front and let us introduce you to Him? If you do know Him, young people, tonight, make that decision in your life. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to be the peer pressure. Father, we ask that You would now work among the hearts that are in this auditorium. Lord, we pray that You would draw us to You. In Jesus' name.